Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on negotiation. Chapter one, it's all about relationships. Folks, if your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us. So, Wendy, this is our first in a series of casts about negotiation, one of my favorite topics. I like to think I'm really good at it. I think there are a lot of people who think they've out-negotiated me.
Isn't that the point, though, to let the other person think they won?
Yeah, no, I don't think of myself as letting the other person think they've won at all. I simply have a different approach than most people. The approach we're going to talk about here, approach, you know, hard fought and long won, I guess. Most people believe that negotiation is a zero-sum game. They really do. I win, you lose. And Marvin Gaye said negotiation means getting the better of your opponent, the best of your opponent. That's an assumption, right? It's like a tug of war. And if I pull harder and the little line in the middle of the rope moves toward me, then I'm winning. But Stephen Covey says win-win, right?
Yeah.
Which is an easy thing to talk about, but it doesn't mean it's not helpful. And the fact is, you have a relationship. There's some measure of a relationship before you start a communication, and then there's another measure of relationship after you finish a negotiation. And the question becomes, do you spend your goodwill on the negotiation? Do you win at the expense of the relationship that will ultimately sustain the negotiated agreement that the negotiation led to? So give us our outline.
So we're going to talk about developing trust by communication. We're going to talk about giving first, which may surprise people, because in negotiations, you're normally told don't give anything, be the last to speak. And we're going to talk about preparing for the long term.
Good. So developing trust by communication. Gee, this is, you know, Career Tools, Manager Tools. I don't think we've ever talked about trust or communication.
No. Do you know, it's probably the first time we're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
The thing is about negotiation that I found when I first went to work, and there were things that I had to negotiate with vendors or suppliers or other departments or whoever it was the only model I had was watching my parents deal with, you know, car dealers and phone dealers and internet people, you know, all those kind of things. And the thing about dealing with those people is there is an assumption. You go into the conversation assuming that they're trying to rip you off. They have more information than you do, and it starts adversarially because there's this assumption that they are trying to confuse you, and so you start defensively. And so when I went to work, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do that too. I'm going to be defensive, and I'm not going to tell anybody anything that they don't need to know. And it didn't work.
Yeah, it's funny because knowing your father, there's very few people smarter in the world than him. So the idea that he was on a call or negotiating with someone who believed they were smarter than him probably caused his brain to explode a little bit.
Yeah, right? That's true.
And so they both had an idea that informed, that illuminated their discussion, both of which were wrong, and both of which were misleading and led to probably difficult conversations. And if you believe you're right, and part of the conversation is in order to get what you want, you have to agree with their point of view, which then therefore proves you wrong, people get really stubborn really fast. And if I believe I'm right and you believe you're right and we disagree, that starts degrading trust.
Yeah, there's no place for you to agree. You know, you're standing on opposite sides of the wall, and there's no, you know, the wall's there and you can't get across it. And it really doesn't have to be like that, because especially in the workplace, both people want something out of it. You don't go to a vendor without wanting something that they have. And I guess that's true in your personal life as well, but I don't know, in the workplace, I think information is more free-flowing and, you know, you're being paid to achieve something. Whereas, you know, if you go without cable for a week, whatever. So you have a different set of leverage. And if you think, if you change your mindset from my dad's mindset, which is they're trying to get one over on me, to, okay, let's work this out together, then magically all the confrontation disappears and you actually start being able to communicate. And that wall comes down.
Yeah, this is one of the fundamental principles that has informed what I would consider to be my success in negotiating. Again, with some people who think they probably took me to the cleaners, is that I recognize we both want something out of this. And when you see it that way, and I remember reading the book Getting to Yes about the Harvard Negotiation Project, and it was as if my mind opened up. And I said, oh, I see a better way. And I get more of what I want, and I have less stress and less issues. And the whole point of this intro is to say, if you want a trusting relationship with someone whom you're going to end up negotiating with, the way you develop trust with another human being is by communicating, right?
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, do that in advance as well. The higher the trust you have with someone else, the easier a negotiation will be. It's okay. If I'm working with someone who is not aligned with me, maybe I'm talking to a client who wants to save money and I'm wanting to make money and I believe that our services are fairly prized. The more trust we have, the more likely I'm willing to give a little, and the more trust they believe they have with us, the more likely they're willing to give a little. And suddenly we can agree on several things perhaps and spend more time on the important issues rather than a lot of time on all of the issues and essentially run down our ability to make decisions and compromise and so on. And we've said this 1,000 times, human beings develop trust with other people by communicating, by the quantity of communication, how much you talk to someone else, and by the quality of communication. So if I'm negotiating with Wendy, guys, if I want to develop more trust with her in advance and or during a negotiation, I need to communicate more than I would have normally about things that are important to her. The definition of quality of communication in Wendy's mind is, do I talk to Wendy about things that are important to her? One of the things that very few people ask when it comes to negotiating is, what do you guys hope to achieve out of this? And by the way, that leads to a fundamental negotiating principle called BATNA, B-A-T-N-A, which stands for Best Alternative to a Negotiated Agreement. And we won't go through that today. We'll talk about those things in the future, future chapters of negotiation. But the more I talk to her in advance, the more trust we have. And I can't develop trust with someone if I'm not communicating with her. And the more I'm likely to understand what she needs, the more I'm willing to give what I don't. If she wants something really important that's not important to me, then it's more likely that with more people in assuming a professional relationship, I'll get more of what I want if I help her get more of what she wants. And by the way, I know already, after 10 years of recording podcasts, I know I get a sense when it would be easy for the audience to disagree. Some of you are getting ready to stop listening because you simply can't get it in your head that it's not about winning. And we respect that, and that's okay. And the fact is, your way isn't wrong. It's just really gross and ineffective in the long run. And our way is better.
You win more doing it this way.
Yeah, but in order to win more, people who are listening right now have to admit that their approach, which is to win at the expense of the other person's loss, is wrong. And there are people who will not deal with that cognitive dissonance. Yeah.
But we were talking about quality of communication. So let's help people understand how we judge the quality of communication.
Well, yeah, the best example I can think of is, if I talk to you about American football, you couldn't care less. You know, that's not a thing for you. On the other hand, if I talk to your brothers about QPR or Bolton or, you know, the British Premier League, okay, they'll pay attention.
Yeah.
if you are a gigantic Patriot fan, if you love Tom Brady, when I talk to you about football, you'll want to talk about the Super Bowl, and that's good.
Yeah, and if you are that person, then you think Mark's really a nice person because he talks about the thing that's interesting to me.
Yeah. Our friend Ari just recently sent us a note about a great post from a guy, may still work at Facebook, but years ago did work at Facebook, and got some feedback about the fact that he wasn't a nice person. And he basically, the title of the blog post is Be Kind. And kindness includes knowing what other people want and talking to them about what they want. And again, kindness doesn't enter into the mindset of a negotiator that says win-lose. But in fact, kindness includes me talking to Wendy about things that are important to Wendy, getting it out of my head that it only matters what I want, at the expense of perhaps what Wendy wants. And in fact, at the expense of what Wendy wants actually makes me feel good, because we believe, again, I believe in this stupid idea I have that negotiation is win-lose. So what we're saying here is that we want beforehand, as best we can, to negotiate with people whom we have good relationships with. And one of the definitions of good relationships is trusting relationship. And in order to build trust, I've got to communicate more frequently with those people, and I've got to know enough about them, or get to know enough about them by asking enough about them, that I can talk to them about things that are important to them. So that's the first ramp up. And what that means is, guys, if you don't know who you may be negotiating with in the next year or so, you need the only way to address this in advance, not having a negotiation in mind, is develop stronger relationships across the board. And if you don't know it, if you're a late joiner to Career Tools over the last, I don't know how many years we've been doing Career Tools, 7, 8 years, whatever, Wendy and I will both tell you, if asked us, what is the single most important Career Tools cast? It is developing your network. The two things that make your career, results and relationships, and your network is essentially the listing of your relationships. And so that's step one, develop your relationship. So there are more people whom you know and who trust you, so that if you negotiate with them, it's easier. The second part of it is when you know, when Mark learns that he will begin negotiating with Wendy, I don't go into a shell and start prepping for a win. I immediately reach out and say, hey, I know we're going to be talking about this. Would love to hear what your needs are, what your concerns are. Perhaps we can have a cup of coffee, or perhaps we can do a teleconference and we can talk through some things in advance. Maybe what you do is think about what would I want from their perspective in order to help them feel that I'm going to help them get what they want, and hopefully they will help me get more of what I want. Now, to be clear, some of you are listening and saying, oh, gee whiz, this is dumb. What if Mark gives Wendy more of what she wants, but Wendy has the old win-lose idea, and she doesn't want to give anything up? I can always walk away from the negotiation. If I give up a bunch of stuff and Wendy doesn't, I can walk away, right? And that's where we get BATNA. Or I can simply say, well, I've agreed to this and this and this, but not seeing any meeting it in the middle, I'm going to take those things off the table. I'm trying to reach an agreement. I've negotiated fairly. I've dealt with you fairly, and you're not going to do it. And so I walk away. The second thing after developing your network generally is over communicating and learning what it is the other person wants in advance of the negotiation. And the third thing is, in order to develop trust by communication in a negotiation, is you over-communicate during the negotiation about everything, about what you want, about what they want, about what the logistics are, about what the schedule is, and so on. More communication, more agreement about things like the agenda or the meeting location or being willing to change things or sharing documentation if, in fact, you're authorized to do that. More communication increases your chances for trust. Or put differently, all things being equal, which of course they never are at BATNA, all things being equal, two negotiations compared side by side, the negotiation that I can count more communication on is more likely to be useful or valuable or resulting in success for both sides of the equation. So better networks, better advanced communication, more communication, and more specific and directed communication during the negotiation. Don't go into a shell. Don't prepare in silence. don't not reach out because it's a game and you don't want to give away your strategy. Wow, I think I just took over this podcast.
But I love negotiating. I should have just let you write it. Yeah. That's what I should have done. As you were saying that, the thing I was thinking was, who would I do more for? Somebody I just met who I didn't know anything about, or someone that I know well? I would do more for someone I know well.
Right.
Of course I would. Whatever my relationship with them, whether they were a friend or it was a work relationship or whatever, I do more for people that I know well. And so the better you know someone before you go into the negotiation, the better it's going to be for both of you. The more likely both of you are going to give.
Yeah. And this goes to that point I was making about the post from the guy who may still be at Facebook, where he basically said, I thought my job was to be right. And his boss told him, I'm going to fire you if you're not careful, because you may be right, but nobody likes you. I know there's a healthy number of people who are listening right now who are high C's. They're perfectionists. You like to dot the I's and cross the T's, and you believe that being right is good. Unfortunately, what that means usually, what you usually, in my experience, in 25 years of teaching negotiation, is if you believe rightness is important to you, then you believe that negotiation is about proving your rightness and getting what you want, and that giving them something in return would therefore be wrong, and you would be unlikely to do that. And you are too rigid to be a good negotiator. Great negotiators are willing to give up all kinds of things that don't matter to them in order to get the one thing that really does matter to them. And if you're not communicating, you don't know what's important to them and what's important to you enough to be able to trade six of one for half a dozen of the other. Thanks, everybody. Hopefully that was helpful to you and a good start to our discussion about how to be an effective negotiator. This is Career Tools. Come back next week.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.